Sergio Mendes and Brazil's 66 from their album Stillness. That's Chelsea Morning. It was a Chelsea morning. The sun was up nice and early. It's 11:16. This is the Jackson 5.
Julian McPhee was born in San Francisco in 1896. He was educated at the University of California at Berkeley, receiving a bachelor's degree in agriculture in 1917. In 1928, McPhee returned to Berkeley to obtain a master's degree in agricultural education. He also received a Doctor of Laws degree from Armstrong College in Berkeley, after he served 19 years there as president of the college. In 1925, McPhee became state supervisor of agricultural education, a position he held until 1944. Perhaps his most important act as state supervisor of agricultural education was the establishment of a statewide program of agricultural teacher training that still exists today. The turning point in McPhee's career came in 1933, when he assumed the presidency of a tiny, financially troubled junior high school, California Polytechnic High School. The former president, Benjamin Crandall, had resigned. Enrollment was under 300, and there were plans to even convert the school into a prison. Under McPhee's administration, steady growth were the bywords. The first four-year program was begun in 1940. The faculty and staff increased from 20 to 2,000. The Pomona campus became independent in 1966, and an extensive building program was started. The pioneering executive assumed the college presidency when the school was a tiny cluster of wooden buildings. Under his direction, Cal Poly grew from a junior high school to a four-year college with some 8,300 students. Julian A. McPhee, the man to whom we owe much for his building of our campus to what it is today, our new college union, bearing his name as a memorial, is indeed a fitting tribute.
Vicki Carr on Radio 91, and everybody's talking. I'm Lou Rinaldi, and we're waiting for a signal from down or up at the College Union building, so we go up there for the dedication opening ceremonies at 11:55. An evening of music is in store for you tonight, right here or right there in the multipurpose room. We plan 6 hours of entertainment. At 6, it's a rock concert featuring Comfort. At 8 o'clock, the group Victoria presents a folk concert, and to top it all off, at 10:15, a rock dance with the Clockwork Orange. Remember, they're all will take place in the multipurpose room upstairs in the College Union building. From the summer of 1970, this is the Carpenters, their number one big hit.
The College Union building is finally going to be a reality. The words of ASI President Rush Hill in 1968. The struggle to see the College Union get finished has been going on since 1932. Today, it is at last open to the public. Bids for construction of the College Union went out in January of 1968, and at the time, it was expected that the building would be completed by October of 1969. The only expected problem was the loss of a good-sized parking lot on which the building now sits. Fate took its hand in the progress of the building, and through various delays in construction, bad weather, and general bad luck all the way around, the College Union took until today to be ready for you to enjoy. The building was financed for over $4 million and houses the offices of the Associated Students of Cal Poly, numerous meeting rooms, activities offices, the El Corral bookstore, a vast multipurpose room, and a bowling alley. Many other student-oriented facilities will find their home in our new College Union. You have helped make its opening possible through your paying of fees each quarter, so by right it belongs to all of you. It started as a dream of a pioneer in the early days of Cal Poly. It has become a reality today, the new Julian A. McPhee College Union building.
Serving Central California from San Luis Obispo, KCPR.
Hello,
11:41 at KCPR, and I think we're about ready to take it up to the lobby of the College Union Building, where Craig Hines and David W. Dexter and everybody, I'm getting a nod that says no. I mean, there's nobody up at the College Union Building? Haven't they opened the doors yet? Our engineer Marty's sitting here shaking his head up and down. So we'll listen a little more Walter Wanderley, and then hopefully in about a couple of minutes we'll be up at the College Union Building.
This is KCPR in San Luis Obispo, California, and now we go to David.
I guess we're on the air. Yes, this is David W. Dexter in the multi-purpose room at the College Union. You're hearing in the background the Cal Poly Symphonic Band in the overture. The opening ceremonies here in the multi-purpose room, as we said, upstairs from the El Corral bookstore. The band is leading us up to the national anthem, which will be played at noon, followed by the invocation by Mr. Bruce Jaden, the chaplain of the Cal Poly Campus Christian Center. The welcome this morning will be done by Mr. Paul Banky, the president of the Associated Students at Cal Poly. The dedication will be done by Dr. Robert E. Kennedy, the president of Cal Poly. And the benediction, once more, by Bruce Jaden, the chaplain here at the Cal Poly Christian Center. After that, they will have a procession into the inner lobby on the second floor here at the College Union for a ribbon-cutting ceremony with the wife of the late president, Julian A. McPhee. Mrs. McPhee will cut the ribbon here in the College Union. Let's listen to the music now of the Cal Poly Symphonic Band. We're up here in the multi-purpose room of the Julian A. McPhee College Union. In the background, you can hear the Cal Poly Symphonic Band entertaining the gathering crowd here in this large auditorium. Just some general impressions right now. The auditorium holds some 1,300 people. That's the capacity. Large open windows on both sides overlooking either side of the campus. Out to the right, you can see the mountains, the airport at the back end of Cal Poly. Looking the other way, you see the music building in downtown San Luis Obispo. Looking over the top of the orchestra, you can also see the Poly P sitting up there on the hill.
And when I do, it's just water.
Rest of the dignitaries, there's a special roped-off section here in the auditorium for more dignitaries. People I can see offhand are Mr. Lack McDonald, the Director of Information Services. Dr. Robert Kennedy has been here, and several other dignitaries are filing in as the orchestra proceeds. Let's listen to some more music from the Cal Poly Symphonic Band. We're covering live the grand opening ceremonies of the Julian A. McPhee College Union here at Cal Poly. You've been listening to the music of the Cal Poly Symphonic Band. According to our schedules, they're supposed to do the national anthem on the hour. It is somewhere near 12 o'clock. The auditorium isn't completely filled. Several dignitaries are still filing in. Dr. Kennedy is here, and several of the administrative officials from the Cal Poly campus are here also. You're listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo. We're doing exclusive coverage of the opening ceremonies all day long here at the Julian A. McPhee College Union Building. If you're downtown and don't know how to get here, let me explain to you the easiest way to get here. Those of you who live here in the city and know how to get to Cal Poly, don't use the California Boulevard entrance. It'll make it difficult on you because they have a roadblock down the street on South Perimeter Road, which makes it impossible to go in front of the College Union Building from that entrance. So we suggest that you enter the campus from Grand Avenue. There's plenty of parking out there on Grand Avenue, and it's about two blocks walking distance at the most, so a very pleasant walk for you if you park on the Grand Avenue entrance. Once again, don't use California Boulevard. Enter the campus by Grand Avenue. And it looks like the band is preparing to do something again. From the campus of Cal Poly in the new Julian A. McPhee College Union, you're listening to the opening ceremonies of this new College Union. We're originating from KCPR Radio, and understand we're being monitored by several radio stations in town, so I'd like to say welcome aboard, and hope you're enjoying the show as much as we are. I'm standing in the multi-purpose room upstairs, the largest room in the College Union. It holds, as I said before, just over 1,300 people. Right now it's about three-quarters full, and there's a large roped-off section for several dignitaries to come in and sit down for the ceremonies. And they haven't filed in yet, so we have received word that they will hold the national anthem until the rest of the auditorium is filled. So whenever that may be, that's when the ceremonies will proceed as scheduled. My name is David W. Dexter, and we're covering the entire opening ceremonies all day long here at Cal Poly. Some events happening tonight. Let's see, at 6 p.m. there's going to be a rock concert here in this large multi-purpose room. Everything this weekend, we might add, is free, so if you're wandering about with nothing to do, come out to Cal Poly and take a tour of our new College Union and take part in some of the activities. They're primarily youth-oriented, but some of the, quote, older generation or whatever you want to call it, we'll have a good time, too. The building is quite an exciting thing in itself. If you haven't seen the bright colors it's painted, you're probably in for a mild surprise. I could say orange is the predominant color, probably. There's a few yellows here and there. In fact, all the seats here in the auditorium are orange. The ceiling is a sort of a yellowish green, and quite a majestic scene. It's an experience, I must admit. So come on out and see it for yourself. There's giving you a grand tour of the building starting at the ribbon-cutting ceremonies. And that will be, well, let me run down the list of what's happening here after the national anthem. The national anthem will be played by the Cal Poly Symphonic Band. We'll have an invocation by Bruce Jaden, the chaplain at the Campus Christian Center, followed by a welcome by Paul Banky, the dedication by Dr. Kennedy, and then benediction. Then there'll be a procession out to the front, and Mrs. McPhee will cut the ribbon at the Julian A. McPhee College Union. You're listening to the opening ceremonies of the Julian A. McPhee College Union building. I'm David W. Dexter. I'll keep you up to the latest on all the events happening. Right now, here is Paul Banky, ASI president for Cal Poly.
Would you please rise for the playing of the national anthem? the Julian A. McPhee College Union, on behalf of my fellow students and President Robert E. Kennedy. Early in 1963, a college union planning committee was organized by the Student Affairs Council of the Associated Students Incorporated. Later, on May 26th and 27th, 1964, the students voted to assess themselves a college union fee. And in the spring of 1968, the College Union Board of Governors, primarily a student group, was formed to direct the policy and management of this student endeavor. Over the years, literally thousands of my fellow students, both some that are here today and some that have preceded me, have worked and been actively involved in the literal creation of this building. On behalf of those students who are here now and those who have preceded us, I am deeply honored by this opportunity to welcome you to this magnificent facility. This moment marks the end of much hope, anticipation, and planning, and the beginning of what we believe will be an educational experience with which we will all learn about ourselves and one another. We sincerely hope that all of you will have the opportunity to use, enjoy, and profit from this facility. And at this point, I would certainly be remiss if I did not ask you to remember with me that Julian A. McPhee, whose dedication and foresight made possible the College Union, which now proudly bears his name. With us today is Mrs. McPhee and approximately 30 members of the McPhee family. I am grateful to them for coming today, as their presence adds even greater significance to this momentous occasion. In the audience are hundreds of students, administrators, alumni, and others whose combined effort has finally been realized. To all of you who have worked to make this moment possible, I thank you for myself, for the students who are here at Cal Poly, and for all of those who will follow us. As I welcome you to this college union, I hope that this building will continue to welcome and to impress upon many the spirit and character with which it was built. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Julian A. McPhee College Union.
That was ASI President Paul Banky welcoming the audience to the new Julian McPhee College Union.
At this time, it's my special honor to introduce to you two very distinguished gentlemen who are with us today. They are Assemblyman William Ketchum and Senator Donald Grunsky. Believe me, these two men are really friends of this college. They've done a great deal for me, and every time I've gone to Sacramento and every time I've called upon them for help. And the students of this college certainly owe a great deal to these two men. At this point, we are honored to have our president, Robert E. Kennedy, here today, who will address you with some appropriate remarks, I'm sure. Dr. Kennedy?
Caden, family of the McPhees, the students, I do in fact welcome you too, as did Paul Banky, to this specific occasion. To those of you who worked diligently these past 24 hours to make this place ready for this moment, my heartfelt thanks. To those of you who have worked diligently this past year to open the doors of this place on this first week of March 1971, my heartfelt thanks. To those of you in this audience, and some who could not be here, who conceived and planned this living space for this campus, and diligently work toward making it a reality, my heartfelt thanks. It took faith all the way. In the Christian vernacular, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And long ago, the man for whom this building is named, the late Julian A. McPhee, hoped that students on this campus might rub elbows, exchange ideas, and cultivate greater understanding for one another in such a place as this. I happen to know from personal association with this man, who was for 33 years president of Cal Poly, that nearly 30 years ago, he began to talk about such a place as this, not nearly so elegant, mind you, but a place that would be truly a living room for all members of the Cal Poly family. It was his foresight that first established a fund whereby profits from the El Corral bookstore would be set aside for the eventual construction of a new bookstore and College Union complex. In fact, his foresight on this matter extended back far enough so that naval aviation cadets who attended the Naval Flight Preparatory School on this campus during World War II made their contributions by patronizing the college store, as have other thousands of students, faculty, and staff during the intervening years. Thank you very much. As that fund grew slowly but steadily, there were great pressures exerted every year by various groups in the academic community to use the accumulated funds for some more immediate and always highly important use, even though the often rational and more often emotional appeals were very compelling. Julian McPhee guarded that account which he had earmarked College Union. By the time construction of this facility had become a possibility, the fund had grown to $750,000 and became, in effect, the down payment on this $4 million project, with the balance of the cost financed by a federal loan obtained in 1967. It was Julian's hope that the seeds of friendship among hundreds of students might take root in a place like this. He hoped that these friendships would bear fruit over the years among Poly graduates and nourish them throughout their lives. Those were his hopes. But it was his faith that it could happen, that eventually made it happen. During the 3 years construction period, when floods and strikes and similar unplanned complications seemed destined to delay the project beyond the patience of all involved, I kept reminding myself and others that faith was still needed. There were times when the degree of faith needed was comparable to that of the three Catholic nuns whose car ran out of gas on a lonely country road. Although they had not seen any traffic either direction for hours, they reassured each other that someone would come along very shortly and give them some gas. As they opened their eyes from a short prayer, a truck came over the hill into sight. The driver saw the sisters, and he screeched to a halt. And when they told him the problem, he said he would gladly give them some gas, but he didn't have any way to get it out of his tank into theirs. One said, "No problem, we are nurses, and in the trunk of our car we have various hospital supplies, including some rubber hose." The truck driver said, "Fine." But he found the hose was a little too short to reach from his tank into theirs. One of the sisters said, "Well, wouldn't this work?" And she handed him a bedpan from the back of the trunk of the car. And he responded affirmatively, and he quickly siphoned out the necessary gasoline for them into the pan. He then excused himself because it was too late for a delivery, and he drove away. Now, as the sisters were pouring the gasoline into the tank, another car came into sight. The car stopped. Out stepped a priest, watched silently for a moment, and then he said, "Sisters, I've been a priest for 30 years. But this is the greatest act of faith that I have ever seen." Now, the second greatest act of faith was when our student body president, Paul Bankey, decided some months ago that the appropriate time to get it, to dedicate the yet-to-be-finished College Union would be on the weekend preceding Founders Day, March the 8th, the 70th anniversary of the founding by the state legislature of Cal Poly in 1901. It took a lot of work on the part of many people to ready the College Union building for this open house and the dedication, and validate Paul Bankey's faith. ...has successfully about the campus to serve the kinds of functions that will now be housed in this structure. We have already seen a shift of the activity to the College Union for events which formerly utilized the library lawn, the amphitheater, the architecture patio, the cellar, the old post office, the temporary College Union, and other campus areas.
We have temporarily lost our connection with the College Union, but please stay tuned.
Conscious students probably will find much to discuss about the effect of this particular facility upon our environment and our activities. There already has been much discussion about the color combinations, pro and con. This room, by creating a context for many and varied occasions, is truly multi-purpose. It is a fine place for lecture, discussion, debate, and drama, for dances and banquets, films, and other gatherings. The opportunities such new space create must be guarded by those who wish to preserve and trust the very resources of the College Union itself. Large buildings tend to become monuments. Proper maintenance, such a building will last indefinitely. We see in history that this is true, provided that the community or the society has the will to maintain and to preserve and to develop such a structure and to agree upon its function and use. Disagreement and conflict has led to the destruction of as many great monuments as have earthquakes and natural disasters. This building is a living monument. The people who use it are what will be important. It is a College Union, and the key to its role on our campus is unity. This is not a place to come together in order to tear each other apart. Since we began construction of this building, our enrollment has outstripped the surrounding community's resources. In 1950, almost 10 years after Julian McPhee began setting aside funds for a College Union, our total enrollment here at San Luis Obispo was only 2,681 students. 10 years later, in 1960, it was 4,713. In the past decade, our enrollment has almost tripled, with about 12,400 students enrolled in the last fall quarter. We hope the college can hold enrollment to no more than 16,000 students by 1980. I believe the College Union has planned into it the flexibility to be appropriate not only for today, but for the foreseeable and not so foreseeable future. The federal loan will be paid off in 40 years. I have faith that when some future student body president and college president plan a mortgage burning ceremony in the year of 2007, the College Union will be considered appropriate even to that time. I have faith that it will be. But my faith is based upon knowledge that the College Union Board of Governors will carry out its legal responsibility for administering the Julian McPhee Union as a part of a strong student body government program of the Associated Students Incorporated. The College Union Board of Governors is composed of 15 voting members, 10 students and 5 non-students, and 6 non-voting members, including faculty, staff, alumni, and the college president. One of the not-to-be-taken-lightly responsibilities is making certain that the $3 million plus federal loan payment is made in the right amount and on time. The College Union Board of Governors also undertake policy formulation to ensure equitable use of the union's facilities by all members of the campus community. Chairman of the College Union Board of Governors at the present time is Jeffrey Whitaker of Upland. Richard Loomis of Arroyo Grande is our alumni representative. The firm of Joseph Eschrich and Associates of San Francisco did the architectural work, and Stanton Reed of Alhambra was a general contractor. I know that Mr. Eschrich is here in the audience. Mr. Eschrich, would you stand, please? Would you please give Mr. Eschrich a hand? You know, sometimes when students want to ask me questions about things, I don't always know the answers. And so, if you have any questions about this building, about why it's like it is, what color it is, please don't ask me that. Mr. Eschrich came down here specifically today so that he can answer those questions. We do think that it's a fine building, Mr. Eschrich. Is there a representative here of the Stanton Reed contracting firm? I think they're busy down in the basement fixing the bowling alley, which is not yet finished. Mr. George Merrill is in the audience. Mr. George Merrill, would you stand? Mr. George Merrill is a representative of the Chancellor's Office, responsible for many things, including helping us look out after things like federal loans for buildings like this. And we thank you very much, George Merrill, for helping us to find the financing for this facility. I think you would be interested in knowing that this particular College Union facility was one of the first approved by the trustees of the California State Colleges under a plan by which the financial underwriting to repay the loan would be by student fees assessed against the students themselves by a vote that they would take. At this campus in May of 1964, the students did in fact vote 91% to assess themselves for a period of many years to repay that loan. That's all right. I did the same thing when I bought a house, so don't worry about it. It should be particularly noted in these days of budget crisis in the state that no state tax funds are involved in the design, cost, construction, or operation of this college union. And that fact would particularly have pleased Julian McPhee. During his years as president of Cal Poly, he earned a reputation among legislators and others in our state capitol for running an efficient an economical program of asking only for essential funds, financing no educational frills, having employees who gave more than a day's work for a day's pay. The word work had a particularly important place in McPhee's life. He had a tremendous faith in work. He believed that a human being's work not only shaped his destiny, but provided him with dignity and justification and purpose. He believed in play, too. Much the same, perhaps, as the philosopher recognizes the struggle the individual makes to maintain equilibrium in his life. He thought of play not as a seeking after pleasure for pleasure's sake, not as an objective in life, but as an activity which provided balance to work. Those of us who worked closely with Julian McPhee during the last quarter of a century of his life seldom saw him engaged in an activity which, by most people's standards, could be called play. To him, however, just being with his lovely wife, his six daughters and their husbands, and his 31 grandchildren was play, not a parental duty, but a supreme pleasure. And we are particularly pleased, as I said, that we have with us today 36 members of the McPhee family here for the dedication. I wonder if they would mind all standing together so we could see them. Play to Julian McPhee was also the co-curricular activities of the Cal Poly students. His obvious enjoyment in attending student body activities, athletic events, banquets, barbecues, dances, plays, Polly Royal, brought him invitations that could have kept him busy day and night, 7 days a week. This man we honor today counted authority and order as the necessary limitation upon man's great desire for freedom and liberty. He bore heavy responsibilities for the entire span of his adult life, but he bore those responsibilities cheerfully and willingly because he always carried with him a vision of how any present situation might be improved for the eventual advantage of both society and of the individual. The world and this college has changed considerably since Julian McPhee's death on November 10, 1967. But the qualities one seeks in a man have not changed. As an educator, Julian McPhee had faith in tomorrow's crop of men and women. He had faith in students. He believed in disciplined growth toward a philosophy of life. He was a wise man who recognized that the educative process needed patterns of relationship that dealt in the everyday experiences of work and leisure time. He believed that if a person would serve himself, he must serve others. He loved the paradox of his favorite expression, the way to be selfish is to be unselfish. His unselfish service to others brought Julian McPhee in his lifetime unsought for honors. More important to him, it brought frequently expressed words of gratitude from former students who recognized the influence of this man's work upon their lives. He wanted every Poly student to work for his right to be under the sun and to flourish as a good citizen in whatever community he chose to become a part. This building we are dedicating today, beautiful and sturdy as it is, cannot bring about brotherhood. Brotherhood cannot be legislated nor manufactured with a lathe. Brotherhood is a quality of
at 91.3 FM, this is KCPR San Luis Obispo. We seem to have temporarily lost connection from the Julian McPhee College Union building. We will return to that program source as soon as possible. Go back now to the College Union building and President Kennedy.
War, nuclear mistake, and ecological disaster make it possible that this building may end up standing with no men and women left alive to use it. Put our priorities into order that we can build a community that lasts as long as pre-stressed concrete. The Lord bless you with perception, a passion for justice and peace, and with his presence wherever you go. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our formal ceremony in the multi-purpose room today. Immediately following our remarks now, we're going to ask Mrs. McPhee, members of the McPhee family, president of our college, and some of our distinguished guests, to cut the ribbon symbolizing the official opening of the College Union building. I would like to ask all of you to remain seated until such time as we can get off the stage, escort the McPhee family out the back doors and into the lobby, around the central staircase where there is supposed to be, I hope, a ribbon that we'll be able to cut. So if you'll just bear with us for a moment and then follow us out, we can watch this symbolic event. Thank you.
This is David Dexter in the lobby. The lobby of the College Union, standing on the opposite side of the ribbon to be cut by Mrs. Julian McPhee. Several people are gathered around here to watch the ceremonies. We are standing right in the lobby by the skylight overlooking the stairway that proceeds to the first floor. It is a quite impressive architectural feat. It looks like honeycomb webs on the ceiling. The floor is somewhat a reddish tile. Very impressive architectural design. The ribbon is stretched between two pillars within the lobby. It's kind of a unique thing. Usually when you think of an opening of a building, think of the outside being ribboned off. But this time it's inside the building. The ribbon is stretched, as I said, between two parallel pillars inside the lobby, right in front of the stairway. In front of me now is Dr. Robert Kennedy, president of Cal Poly, and he is ushering Mrs. Julian McPhee up to the ribbon. She is being handed the scissor, and she is proceeding up to the ribbon between the two pillars. With her is Assemblyman McGilvery from Sacramento. Several members of the McPhee family are gathering behind her as she is ready to cut the ribbon. They're lining the family up behind the ribbon to facilitate photographers who are waiting on the other side to take a picture. There are about, I'd say, 10 of the, I would assume, the grandchildren of the McPhee family, standing behind Mrs. McPhee, Dr. Robert Kennedy, and Mr. McGilvery from Sacramento. Mrs. McPhee has cut the ribbon, officially opening the Julian A. McPhee College Union. Dr. Kennedy, can I get a comment from you on the ribbon cutting?
Well, I think that we're very pleased to be into this facility at this point. I hope that the students do, in fact, enjoy their facility.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Paul Behnke speaking in the background. From what I understand, a group of Chinese students are going to perform some sort of ceremonial dance.
It's going to be a Chinese dragon dance, but dedicated to the dedication.
I see. Right.
Special dance.
Coming out of the side room now is I'd call it a papier-mâché dragon. Rather unusual for an opening ceremony of a college union. They are dancing around in the traditional style of a dragon dance, a really multicolored dragon. Several students dancing around on the right at the entrance to the College Union. Several of the Chinese students are wearing masks, really unusual type of thing. I'm really surprised myself. I hope you can hear the music in the background, the drum beat, the chanting of the dragon dance. I'm going to try and make my way up to the front if I can. Seem to be having trouble with the cable here. I'm close enough to the dragon dance to see what's going on. Now, there are about five of the members of the Chinese Students Association performing, as Dr. Kennedy called, a celebration for the opening celebration of the Julian McPhee College Union. If you've ever seen films of the Chinatown celebrations in San Francisco, you probably will be reminded of what is going on here.
Dragon seems to be stretched out on the floor now. Trying to interpret this is almost impossible. I would assume the dragon is either sleeping or symbol of death or something. They have a paper jaw that seems to be opening and closing. It is quite unique for an opening of a college union, I must admit. Dancers are manipulating the dragon mask to flap his ears and blink his eyes, and his mouth is opening shut. All that's missing is the fire from the dragon's mouth. Even his eyes are rolling. This is really quite a work of art, this dragon mask. The instruments you're hearing in the background are something resembling a kettle drum, although I'm sure that's not what it is, and two cymbal-type affairs, like crashing cymbals. Those are the sounds you're hearing in the background, while the two or three Chinese students are dancing under the dragon mask in front of a large group of people here in the lobby at the Julian McPhee College Union. Still blinking the dragon's eyes, open and closed, really quite amazing. It's unfortunate this isn't television, but that's how it goes. They're wrapping the dragon around himself. I wish I could understand the symbolism. I'd interpret it for you, but this is quite new to me. It's a surprise, I think, for many people who came to the building, and right after the ribbon cutting, this dragon, the two white doors swing open, and out bursts the dragon dancing around. Now the two masked characters have joined in on the dance. They're sort of dancing behind him. As I said before, there are four altogether taking part in the dance, while about three others stand to the side and play the instruments which you are hearing. From my vantage point, it looks as if the dragon's eyes have lights in them. They are blinking the lights of the dragon's eyes on and off as the dragon comes near the crowd. I'm standing myself about 10 feet away in the crowd as the dragon dances in front of us. Craig Hundley Trio here. We're broadcasting music now from the Julian McPhee College Union. With me is Lou Rinaldi, and there's all kinds of people gathering around us. Lou, how about some brilliant insights on what's going on here?
I'm really not too sure what's going on here. People are milling around, staring at us right now. The opening ceremonies have been concluded, and the activities of the day will be starting in a very few moments. Of course, we'll be here all day until midnight, keeping you informed about what's going on. That's it. Steve Stagnaro's back at the station. He'll be playing College Union Histories and Julian A. McPhee Histories, three times an hour, right?
I think so, yes.
Meanwhile, we'd like to invite all you people listening to come on down to the new Julian McPhee College Union building. It's located right at the end of Grand Avenue, next to the administration building on the campus at Cal Poly. Meanwhile, we'll take you to more music. Well, here we are. Steve Stagnaro, are you back there at the studio? Can you hear me?
I'm alive and well in Graphic Arts 202.
Well, how does it feel to be back there? What'd you think of that dragon dance?
Well, I must say that if it looked half as good as you described it, I'm scared.
I was at a loss for words, I must admit. They had this dragon-type thing dancing around. Like I said before, all he wasn't doing was breathing fire. He had lights flashing in his eyes and all kinds of nice things.
Sounds like one of my nightmares.
Yeah. It was quite a surprise. All of a sudden, Dr. Kennedy's talking about Mrs. McPhee cutting the ribbon, and all of a sudden, Paul Banky's voice comes out of the background, and these two wide doors swing open, and this dragon comes running out, and all these people dancing around, and drums beating, and cymbals crashing. It was quite a surprise, to say the least. Well, we're going to do some more music here.
Are you sure?
Okay. I'm not sure about that, but we'll try it anyway and see how it works.
Okay, let you have it then. Go ahead. Okay. Anything you want to do, it's fine.
It's 12:51. Get the music of The Ventures now from the John Lennon Paul McCartney songbook. Nice, yes. Turn down the wrong button and you get that humming in the background. Music of The Ventures. We're at the College Union building on campus broadcasting live. If you, like I said, if you have nothing to do, come on down and say hi to us. There's plenty of parking on Grand Avenue if you know how to get to Cal Poly. Don't come on California Boulevard. You'll have a lot of trouble getting around, and it'll be quite a walk if you park over there. So come in on the Grand Avenue entrance, and you'll have plenty of free parking. And it's such a happy day here, so we're going to do something from the Edwin Hawkins Singers. Oh, happy day. Oh, yes, indeed. The Edwin Hawkins Singers and Oh, Happy Day. Steve, are you there?
I think so. I hope so. Why don't we sit here and play radio talk for a second
okay.
And adjust our levels.
It looks like it's about 1 minute before 1 o'clock.
I have about 20 seconds till 1 minute till 1 o'clock.
Okay.
How's that?
And you're going to make us legal on the hour, aren't you?
I'm going to make us legal on
you
the hour.
You certainly are.
Have we got our levels, our engineers working down there?
I think so. How's that for you?
This is getting better.
Oh, how about that?
This is even better than that. I'm really happy.
You must excuse us, listeners.
We're playing radio here.
I have all kinds of knobs in front of me that I don't know what I'm doing with.
You think you've got problems.
Well, how far away from... I'd say you're about, well, what?
I'd say I'm exactly 1 minute too, so why don't we do something clever right now, okay?
Okay, do something clever.
Be right back.
Good.
Bringing Cal Poly in the Central California coast, the opening of the Julian A. McPhee College Union, this is KCPR San Luis Obispo.
And now back to more mirth, merriment, and music with David W. Dexter.
Thank you, Steve. We've got music now from the motion picture Yellow Submarine. That's music of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. We're broadcasting live from the lobby of the Julian A. McPhee College Union. I've got about 50 million switches around me all over the place, and I'm trying to find out which one of them work and which one of them don't. So, here's Paul McCartney, I think, somewhere with something new from him. Is it working there? It's not working. Wow. Great. It doesn't seem to want to work the way it wants to, so we're going to listen to more from Herb Alpert. How about that? Well, how about that? Now we're going to try Paul one more time, and Steve, down there. After Paul, how about giving some people the information on how the College Union came to be today? Alrighty?
I'd love to do that, yes.
Okay, we're going to see if Paul wants to sing at the right speed now. Try it, Paul. Oh, God. I think he's got it now. That's Mr. Paul McCartney and Steve Stagnaro back at the studio. How are you?
Alive and well. I'm ready
okay.
to do our little thing.
You got something
113.
To do for us.
I'm
okay.
ready. Okay, here
go
we
ahead
go.
And do it.
Okay.
Back in August of 1966, a writer from El Mustang, the college newspaper, said, "A little patience will pay off great dividends." The writer was speaking about our proposed College Union building. Today, the dream that President Julian A. McPhee held foremost in his mind is now a reality. Since the early part of the 1930s, Julian McPhee wanted a place that students could call their own. He dreamed of a building that would one day be the living room of the Cal Poly campus. On August 8, 1966, it was announced in Sacramento that the college had been granted a $3 million loan to finance the construction of a College Union building. Construction was to have started within a year, with the completion date being set at an optimistic 18 months later. History was to prove otherwise. Julian McPhee was not to live to see his dream become reality. But today, our new College Union is completed. It stands as a monument to an academic pioneer.
Okay, we're live and well now, back in the imprisoned in the innards of the Graphic Arts Building as I completely mystify the audiences down to College Union with some music now from The Temptations. At 118, the smooth sound of The Temptations as we get a little faster now and help maybe the old crowds flow in the College Union Building. Oh my gosh, what's happening to me up here? This is Gene Chandler. It's called Hey Little Angel. Oh, I'm not exactly sure what I just did there.
Hey little angel with ya, angel child, I love you so, I love you so.
That's Gene Chandler for all you pretty girls in the lobby there. That's called Hey Little Angel. And with your permission, we're gonna monkey around now with Michael Nesmith and the crew. This is I Wanna Be Free. Terry Nielsen, music from The Point at KCPR and KCPR's subsidiary auxiliary station down at the College Union, where we will be going shortly, I think. It's 1:25 now, and if any of you are out there are 17 years old, think back to when you were 10. And when you were 10, this song was number one, and it's by the group called themselves The Beatles. I kind of hope that brought back memories of 1964 when those long-haired freaks The Beatles stormed the music scene. We're going to cruise now to the bottom of the 1 o'clock hour with the help of Ray Conniff and the Singers getting kind of mellow. And make it with you, girl, not really. That's Ray Conniff, the Singers, and his orchestra on KCPR in San Luis Obispo, and now with any kind of engineering luck at all, back up to the College Union Building.
Well, how's this for luck? Can you hear me now? Yeah, I can hear that.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Does it sound all right?
A little echoey, but otherwise
echoey,
nice, yes.
That's because it's a big room and there's not very many people here right now.
I understand you.
It's rather dead. There's maybe, at the most, 25 or 30 people, and they're staring at us and everything weird. But I guess it's lunchtime in San Luis, and if I were not sitting here, I would be eating lunch. What about you, Steve?
I'd be anywhere but here.
Here's Liz Damon on the Orient Express, 1900 Yesterdays.
Lou Rinaldi, are you there and alive?
Oh, we're here and alive.
Ah, you're very humming. I tell you what, we have forgot something important to do, okay?
You did.
We did, so I think I will do that now, a little history thing, and then go back right back to you, okay?
Okay, we'll straighten things out up here.
Very good. Okay, bye. Well, we seem to have problems back at the top of the hill.
What did you do?
I think it wasn't cued back in old radio talk, and I think I'm going to kill whoever didn't cue it. So, which I think was you.
Is it number 8?
Yes.
Oh, that hasn't been played yet.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll get you, Lewis, someday up there in heaven.
Can I play some music now?
Why don't you play some music, and we'll let the thing run around by itself, okay?
All right, this is Diana Ross and the Supremes, and I know they're your favorite group, right? That's the Motown sound of Diana Ross and the Supremes. And Steve, are you ready back down there?
A reasonable facsimile thereof, yeah.
Or okay. Whatever, yeah.
So here we go.
Julian A. McPhee was the second president of this college. Born in San Francisco on February 7, 1896, McPhee earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in Agriculture at the University of California at Berkeley in 1917. He later went on to gain a master's degree in agricultural education, and in 1952 earned his doctorate from Armstrong College in Berkeley. He was a member of the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks, the Kiwanis Club, Phi Delta Kappa, Alpha Phi Omega, Alpha Zeta, and the American Vocational Association. McPhee joined the United States Navy and served as an ensign from 1917 to 1919, after which he taught school and became vice principal at Gilroy High School in Northern California. In 1925, he became the state supervisor of agricultural education, a post which he held until 1944. During this time, he was a member of the committee that formed the Future Farmers of America group and organized a statewide program of agricultural teacher training that still exists today. Julian McPhee then went on to become the state director of vocational education, and then he was appointed president of the Cal Poly School in 1933. The present campus here in San Luis Obispo has changed quite a bit since the early days of the McPhee administration. Most of what we see on campus today was in some way due to his efforts. Today, we open the doors to our new college union, bearing his name in memorial tribute. The Julian A. McPhee College Union stands in our appreciation of a man whose entire life was Cal Poly.
Okay, Lou Rinaldi, my good man, it's all yours.
Oh, doesn't she have a nice voice, Steve?
Oh, she certainly does.
Yeah, this is Herman's Hermits. I'm going to dedicate it to you because there's nobody up here to talk to. And I'm Henry VIII. I am.
Henry VIII, I am, I am. Henry VIII, I am.
That's Herman's Hermits on MGM Records, and we're sitting in the College Union building. It's 141, and I have some people out on the terrace getting ready to give us a report about what is going on, I hope. So if Gary could see me, Gary? Oh, he's getting ready, yeah. He's making his way out. I believe there's a dance out in the patio, plaza area, between the bookstore and the lower area, so we're going to see what happens. No, I guess we're not going to talk to Gary Gardner, so we'll go back to music, and we'll figure out exactly what's going on and let you know in just a few minutes, as soon as we know.
When we go marching down the...
That's Harry Nilsson, and the Lord must be in New York City. 1:45 here in the College Union building. Very, very few people. I imagine they're all out eating lunch or something like that in... just a moment, we're going to be talking to some people down in the College Union building in the lower plaza who will be telling us about what's going on right now. Here's Van Morrison, some Blue Money. Van Morrison there, worrying about that Blue Money. We're broadcast from the lobby of the brand new Julian A. McPhee College Union building today, and we're going to return to our studio for a moment, then we'll be back with some live action from the plaza. Steve?
When Julian A. McPhee passed away 3.5 years ago, a special tribute was presented by Dr. Robert E. Kennedy, the new president of this college. These are the words of Dr. Robert Kennedy from that tribute, which is still meaningful today. The former president of this college, who served in that capacity for 33 years, wished mightily to give wholeness to life, to himself and those around him in the search for continuity, in the search for the what for of existence. Julian A. McPhee did not presume that he had found the answer for everyone, but the answer for his own life was a simple but strong belief in the effectiveness of the concept, service above self. He truly lived by that concept, giving little thought to his personal welfare, always giving of himself 100% to build organizations which would better serve the continuously changing needs of young men and women of this state, this nation, and the world. He loved the paradox of his favorite expression, the way to be selfish is to be unselfish. His unselfish service to others brought to Julian A. McPhee in his lifetime unsought honors fit for a king. He believed that a human being's work not only shaped his destiny, but provided him with dignity and justification and purpose. He believed in play, too. To him, just being with his lovely wife, his 6 daughters and their husbands, and his 31 grandchildren was play. Play to Julian McPhee was also the co-curricular activities of the Cal Poly students.
He would drive 500 miles round trip between the Cal Poly campuses to attend a student activity, not just as a duty, but because he thoroughly enjoyed being with students. It truthfully can be said of Julian A. McPhee, as it was said of John F. Kennedy. He believed that in this world, one man can make a difference, and every man should try. These words of tribute, written by Dr. Robert Kennedy.
And now back up to the College Union Building at 151, and Lou Rinaldi.
Right, Steve, we're back up here, and Gary Gardner and Ed O'Brien, or Brian Edwards, or whatever he's being called today, is out in the balcony. So, Gary, take it.
Okay, very good, Lou. We're out here with a group called Western, what was it, Lou? Western Cowboy? Western Playboy, okay. And they're from Santa Maria, a professional group. They're playing today in the College Union Plaza live right now as unscheduled. It was a little slight change in the schedule. They're going to be playing out March 13th in the Edna Farm Center on Edna Road for your entertainment out there. They're real good. We've got about 250 people out here looking at it, sitting all around the second floor of the College Union Building. There's a good balcony out here to get some good views of what's happening. They're standing out on the stage, the concrete stage that's been built out here next to what they call the arena in the plaza where the free speech area is. And we've had some real good groups out here today. This guy, these guys, rather four fellas, playing three guitars and two bass, one bass guitar and a couple of tenor guitars and a set of drums. They're really good. You might come on out. I'll turn it back to, from some live music out here, I'll turn it back to Lou and some plastic music.
That's the Ventures and Up, Up and Away. And I'm got away there for a second. That's music. We're in the library lobby of the new College Union Building, and the people are beginning to move in and out again. I guess lunch is about finished, and they figured it's time to do something. This afternoon, in fact, right now, down in the plaza, as you heard before, there's a country and western group playing some music at 1:30 until 8 p.m. tonight. There's going to be a couple of dances down there, three to be exact. And at 2 o'clock, which is... Oh, it's just about 2 o'clock now, down at the soccer field below the men's gym, Muir Hall has challenged many, many people to a tug of war. And it's absolutely free except for the dollar entry charge, so if you're not doing anything this afternoon, why don't you go down for a tug of war? I suggest, Steve, that maybe we send you down there and you could tug with Muir Hall. How's that sound? Oh, you're not there, are you? Well, we'll listen to Gordon Lightfoot in that case, and if you could read my mind. Gordon Lightfoot on Radio 91, that's if you could read my mind. 2 o'clock, we're in the lobby of the College Union, broadcasting for KCPR in San Luis Obispo, making all sorts of noise. But that's all right, Steve, if you're still down there, this is for you. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, that's the Marrakesh Express from one of their earlier albums. And if you people across the hall are listening to me, Gary and Ed, no, are you listening? Do you have an interview right now? Do you have an interview for us? Yes. No, no interview.
Hey, Lou, I've got something for you from down here.
Oh, okay.
This is Dexter. Listen, that soccer...
UBG. And there is going to be a public address system installed and also has projection facilities.
I see. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but... Could you tell us what those initials stand for?
Oh, SEC is the Student Activities Council.
And?
The CUBG is the College Union Board of Governors.
I see. Okay, well, back to Lou, and we'll be traveling to another room shortly.
Okay, I guess. We can still hear you. There we go. Steve Stagnaro, one or two questions I have to ask of you.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
Lay it on me.
Number one. Are you really 100% pure Italian?
No, I'm half other things.
Half other things?
Half human, half human. Italian.
Have you eaten lunch yet?
No, but I have my messenger.
And you have your messenger working
on
it.
He's bringing things for us, so we're all set.
For us?
Well, sure. Why?
Us down here, too.
I like you.
No, not you, Dexter. Nothing for you.
Yes, for me, too. I'm starving in the dungeon down here.
No, you've got a nice air-conditioned studio down there. Dexter, I've got a question for you. Do you know who this is?
Let's see. Santana. How about that?
You're right. You know the name?
Let me think a bit. Something about speaking the magician's daughter or something?
No.
It's not Oye Como Va.
No.
Well, I struck out on that one.
Well, you listen to it. If you could guess it, we'll give you the record free.
Okay, good enough.
Santana with what? Something exciting. But
how about Samba Pati? Samba Pati. I got it.
For that. You'd never guess. So we have something special now from Steve Gale, Ed O'Brien, over somewhere hidden in the Julian A. McPhee College Union building.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. We are now, for the benefit of those listeners that want to know, we are in the north offices of the main stairwell as you walk in the front entrance. Miss Bonnie Nelson. Bonnie, what offices are these?
And these are the different student activities offices. The student body officers have their offices here, and there are also offices for like Poly Royal, WOW Week, and different clubs like that.
I see. Any information that clubs need on where to go, they would come here?
Yes, all the clubs have their mailboxes here, and any information you need can be found here.
Okay, thank you very much. Steve?
Oh, are you finished over there? This is Lou now. Steve's not listening. Steve's crazy. Steve's eating. Is your mouth full?
Steve has a mouthful of food.
Steve has a mouthful of food.
Yeah.
Are you guys really taking a tour or what? Steve? Gail? Can you still hear me? Can you still hear me over there? Or Ed O'Brien or somebody? You're not going to talk to us, are you? Yeah.
No, he's dead
over there.
Oh, we just finished it from here.
Oh, there he is. No, I'm just wondering, are you really taking a tour? There's two guys and, what, three girls giving you the tour?
That's correct.
Is it really necessary?
Oh, it's very necessary.
Yeah, I thought so. I tell you what, can you hear us over there?
Yes, we can.
Well, if you could tell me who this group is and what the name of the record is, I'll give it to you, okay?
Oh, will you? Quick,
yeah.
Let me have a...
Let's listen. Your phone.
When's my turn? Yeah, I can do it. He's not too.
All right, give it to me now.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. Would you put it on one more time?
One more time?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Oh, you gotta be kidding. I didn't even... let's see, was it...
Well, we'll give you the whole record you can listen to.
Yep.
Okay.
Be afraid to love and get love returned. Be afraid to love.
Carpenter, Steve Gale didn't get it, so I get it by default. It's called Don't Be Afraid. I think we can listen to more music now for lack of... No, we're not. We have something from Steve Gale? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Hey,
I'm excited.
You jipped me. We had a contestant here that wanted to win that record.
Ah, darn.
So we'll try it on the next one, maybe. Maybe? Oh, well. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Kathy Sorensen, where are we on our way to now?
We aren't talking yet, are we?
Yes, we are. Okay, we are on our way to the multi-purpose room, evidently. We are walking in right now. This is where, of course, the... main ceremony was held this morning that you heard right here on KCPR, and it's of course been cleared now. How about a little description, Kathy?
Okay, the multipurpose room is going to be used for banquets and dances or films, lectures, plays, or whatever. And the also has wings on each side that can be closed off for smaller banquets or whatever you'd like to have. And each wing holds 289 people, and the center portion holds a capacity of 807. And the total capacity is 1,385.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. We'll be sticking with you. Back to Lou.
Oh, do you want to guess the name of this record now? Is that what you want?
Okay.
I'm going to tell them.
Tell you what we're going to do. We have a contestant here. Play the record, and then at the end we'll have this contestant guess. If they can guess it, they'll win. Is that right?
Yeah, they could have it if they can guess it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
listen.
Here it is.
Who was that? That was who? We're not going to give it away?
We're going to give it away. We're going to give it away. They have
who
a contestant. They have a contestant.
Hello?
Over there. Steve?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Do you have a contestant?
Yes, we have a contestant, Miss Kathy Sorensen. Kathy, do you know the name of that song?
Yes, Standing in the Lovely Ride of the Silvery Moon.
And who is it by?
Michael Nesbitt in the First National Band.
Is that correct back there?
My gosh. That's exciting. Right here on the old radio. Did they guess it? I can't hear.
I don't know. I don't know where the record went. You have it
there
in front of you.
I've got it. What'd they say? What'd they say?
What did you say again? One more time. Repeat that answer, please.
The name of the record was Standing in the Lovely Light of the Silver Moon.
That's close enough.
And it's by Michael Nesbitt in the First.
You've got it. Come down here and I'll implant a kiss on your body and give you the record at the same time.
Oh, you won the record.
Okay, so we're down for
that's
the prize.
That's just fantastic, right here on the old radio.
Well,
we're going to do something exciting. Thank you, Steve.
Well,
you bring
Steve.
Pleasure to all the people here.
Well, yes. Isn't he going to tell us about where he is? Where are you?
Where are you?
Well, we're standing in the lonely night of the suffering moon.
Oh.
Well, in the multi-purpose room, we're still here watching the janitor sweep it up.
Okay, well, you stay there.
We're going to go to the tunnel. Here's Ed O'Brien. What, Ed?
Yeah, we're going to go over to the tunnel where all the food comes over from that nice place.
You're going to go into the tunnel?
And it's underground, though, and we can't go down there, but it's over in the corner of the multi-purpose room. It's a big elevator.
Oh,
and,
you're going to look at
you
it.
You know, all the food comes over there.
Well, now that we know that, I'm sure everybody's really excited. So.
That sounds really spiffy. You do that. You,
right,
you keep us up to date.
Mahalo and have a nice trip.
Okay, a trip. Oh, I see. It's music time, I believe. I can't even hear this, but sounds exciting. From George Harrison, I do believe. Right? I'm right on again. From All Things Must Pass, this is Awaiting on You All. George Harrison, this is the mysterious voice from the CU talking and paging David W. Dexter. Are you there, my good man?
Yes, I'm right here.
That's
taking
fantastic.
All kinds of things happening at once. I take it you want to hear one of the histories, right?
I'd love to hear one of the histories. Would you do that for me, Mr. Dexter, sir?
Yeah, hang on a minute. I've got to find one. I got something very important to say. yeah, let me explain something before I do this history. I have a call here from a young lady who is... says that she's one of the Armstrong family who founded Armstrong College in Berkeley. And evidently, Dr. McPhee did not serve as president of the college as we have reported he did, as that's what this young lady is saying. She said that her grandfather founded the college some 52 years ago, and her father is now the current president of Armstrong College. So contrary to popular belief, Julian A. McPhee was not president at Armstrong College, but he did receive his Doctor of Laws degree from that college. Okay?
I'm happy.
Does that make
happy.
Things perfectly clear?
Yes. Why don't you do the thing for us?
I'm sure Ms. Armstrong will be pleased too. We'll do this thing for you.
David?
Cal Poly's new Julian A. McPhee College Union is now finished, but it did not come cheap. Original proposals were made to the Cal State Board of Trustees in 1956 for a student community center at a cost of just over $2.3 million. Colleges like Cal Poly, agriculture and engineering schools in small communities all over the nation were consulted about how much was needed in a college union. William Ryan, the director of the Florida Union at the University of Florida, was chosen as a consultant. Final cost estimates were just under $4 million. $1 million was to be raised by the college, and a federal loan was to provide the other $3 million. In 1962, students from this college voted to institute a college union fee. Those fees, with all the El Corral bookstore profits, have been helping to repay the federal loan and make your college union a reality today.
Okay, Lou or Steve, are you up there?
It's my good man.
Yeah.
We're here.
We seem to be having problems with our history. I think we're getting things straightened out. We should say that this is KCPR, San Luis Obispo, shouldn't we?
That's very good. I was going to do it if you didn't do it.
Right, right.
But I'm glad you did it because I have nothing better to do.
We're having all kinds of confusion. We've got to get our historians on the right track. Evidently, we cleared up that bit about Armstrong College, I hope, to... some satisfactory degree.
I won't mention any names.
Neither will I.
That's good.
Why don't you play some music?
I think we will.
Okay.
Do something from our good man. What's happening? We have something exciting in the way of a remote from another room. Are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, and I'm with Kathy Sorensen, and I'm Ed O'Brien, believe it or not. And we're just in this lounge here. We just came out, and I can smell hamburgers very strongly, very, very strongly. Kathy, where are we?
This is the largest lounge. It holds 326 people, and it will be mainly used for studying, but clubs will also be able to use it for guest speakers and special programs.
Okay. Will there be any films? I know last night there was a film up here. We're on the second floor. Will there be films tonight, to your knowledge? Well, anyway, getting on to something else. we're walking on this carpet here. So if you happen to walk on the carpet, watch out if you touch anything metal because you'll really get a static charge out of it.
Ed?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. There are films there tonight, starting at 5 p.m. until 1 a.m.
Great. Great. There will be films. I think those are the ones with all those old-time people and everything. Okay. Back to you, Lou, with more music.
Back to Lou. Heck, back to me with more music. That sounds good. I hate to play a pun on you or a thing. Attaboy. Here comes David Dexter now. David Desmond. You can get it, I think.
You can get it if you try. You'll succeed at last.
contrary to what you've been led to believe, that is not Desmond Dexter, whoever he is. It's called You Can Get It. I'm not sure what that means, but we're happy here in the middle of the Julian A. McPhee College Union Building with Lou Rinaldi, Steve Gale, Craig Hines, Woody Gillard, David Dexter, all kinds of people.
Zorro and Batman and all kinds of other people. What are you doing up there? You're talking about me on the radio.
Mostly incoherent things. Looking around, looking at all the new things I've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
looking at people I've never seen before who are absolutely shocked by what's happening here.
I think we've got Craig Hines here, too.
What's he doing?
Is Craig Hines there?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
How did we manage this?
That's a little bit of trickery down here at the studio.
I'm shocked.
I'm in the College Union, and you're taking me back to the studio, then sending me back to the College Union, all and then back to people on the radio.
All through the miracle of your telephone company, huh?
The magic of Music 91.
Yeah, well, I love Ma Bell.
Hockney cliches.
Dexter?
Yes.
I almost had a hot date with her once.
How many hands do you have?
No, quite a few, and I'm eating a hamburger and drinking a Coke at the same time. So
where'd you get a hamburger and a Coke at?
Oh, the messenger. It's a secret, so I'm not so alone down here in the dungeon.
I've got the same one, yes. Same one up here. He's a really nice guy. We gotta do something for him sometime.
Is this really for real?
This is for real.
This is real-time radio.
I can see everybody around KCPR's broadcast place here at the College Union attracting quite a crowd. I understand that while Lou Rinaldi's going to be doing some things, though, along with Steve Stegnaro, like giving away some records and things like that. Is that right, Lou?
That's really spiffy.
Yeah.
You're right on, Mr. Hines.
Right on.
Yeah. Exactly correct.
We sure have a lot to say, don't we?
Oh, yeah, it's really intelligent. Well, you go back to your hamburger.
Yes.
Okay.
Let us go back to making fools of ourselves right here.
David Dexter is wonderful.
For what?
I don't know, but I think that sounds really slow. It looks funny, too.
It is.
Oh, I'll be darned. This is Neon Philharmonic now. I'm going to lay some flowers on your pillow. Oh, you devil. Attaboy, Lou Rinaldi, right on the job, engineering things as well as he always engineers things. This is KCPR broadcasting from the middle of the campus, and we won't tell you where. Come by the Julian McPhee New College Union Building and look at us and make funny faces at us. And do we have anything to do back at the studio? David W. Dexter.
Yes, you caught me in the middle of a gulp.
I knew I would. That's why I did it.
You're terrible. You're cruel. I just spilled Coca-Cola all over our records. And
it couldn't hurt.
No, it might help. And that hamburger was something else, too. That was the hamburger that was. Why are you rudely interrupting me in the middle of my lunch?
Do you have number two there?
Do I have number two? I certainly do.
Well, why don't you do two to us?
Okay, you want to do two. I think this one's all right. At least it doesn't contain any fallacies. I'm going to get my hands on the historian and find out what happened, okay?
Do that.
Right, here it goes.
Okay.
It was in December of 1967 that the headline in the Telegram Tribune read, Poly Union, named after late president. The state college trustees had just approved a request by Cal Poly president Robert E. Kennedy that the new College Union building be named after the late president, Julian A. McPhee. History was being made. Construction was to start next spring, and the entire project was to be completed in the spring of 1969. Today, in 1971, we are finally seeing these dreams of Julian McPhee become a reality in our own College Union building.
Okay, back at the new College Union with Lou Rinaldi, Steve Stagnaro, and Diana Ross, the Supremes.
That's the Supremes on Radio 91. We're sitting in the lobby of the College Union building, and I want to apologize to Steve Stagnaro for making a mess of that last record. I mean, it really blew his mind. So we replaced Mr. Stagnaro with our station manager, Gary.
One unique feature of the Julian A. McPhee College Union building is the several individual chandeliers suspended from the lofts of the second story. Their glowing brilliance radiates forth through a finely blown single round piece of opaque crystalline substance. Suspended through the ceiling from several finely machined copper threads cloaked with a protective plastic dressing, the fixture is girded with a single piece of a black functional basing. The entire chandelier complements the solid reality of the building with its rather stark nakedness. Thus, in the Julian A. McPhee College Union building, and only in the Julian A. McPhee College Union building, do light bulbs inspire such prose from a KCPR staffer.
Gary, that's nothing but a drop cord and a light bulb on the end of it.
That's it.
Oh. Steve?
What? I can't do anything after that.
You want to try it now?
Oh, I might as well.
You tell me when.
When? What the heck? What's this now? It sounds something ting-ling-ling-ly. From Gene Chandler. From Gold, this is called Groovy Situation. I like it, really.
A bad girl situation and a splendid combination. You're something that...
That's Gene Chandler in the deserted Cal Poly CU lobby. There's nobody here to watch me, and I feel really hurt. My ego's going down the hill. Oh, that's a squeak. I really think you're funny there. Boy, I get you.
Does he work for us?
Does he work for us? He used to work for us.
Oh, really?
What's his official title? I'd hate to mention that on the air. With David Dexter playing engineer in the background, we're going to play some more music. I mean, why not?
Boy, are we having fun down here. I'm pushing all kinds of buttons.
Not only that, but we're going to play some good music from the Poppy family.
Oh, I made a mistake there. Let me try that.
Let's try that again. Boy, well, I get paid highly for this. I'm going to do it right, boy.
Okay.
The Poppy family.
Try this.
Oh, here it comes. That's where I went wrong. Susan Jacks, the featured sounds, the Poppy family. From the Poppy family, back to David Dexter in the wink of an eye with some more histories. Number three, right? Oh, you ought to wake up sometime. You do a good job. Are you alive?
Yes, I'm alive.
That's pretty good. You're right on, young man.
Now that I got my headphones back on, we're going to try number three, right?
That's fine.
Okay. One, two, three.
Julian McPhee started planning for the College Union in the 1930s. All the profits from the college bookstore were set aside for a new permanent location. By 1968, a nest egg of $750,000 was accumulated for the new College Union building. In the summer of that year, the foundation was laid for the multi-million-dollar complex. It was to be completed in October of 1969. But in October, it wasn't finished, and it was quite a ways from being near completion. Douglas Girard, Associate Dean of Facilities Planning, said in 1969 that the building contractor had been given an extension on the October 31st completion date because of problems. Since the earliest days of construction, the College Union building was plagued with unforeseen delays. The first major delay came when the entire structure had to be redesigned to accommodate a new system of tension support cables. Then, a major rainstorm caused considerable delay when the entire campus was subjected to a severe case of flood water. The building was 25% complete by January 1969, but 40% of the contractor's time had already expired. A new completion date of February 1, 1970 was set. Everyone was hopeful, but they would still have to wait a little bit longer. The new Julian A. McPhee College Union, amid delays and other problems, has finally become a reality. Your new College Union, the dream of two decades, is now ready for all of us to enjoy.
Here comes music now for all of us to enjoy. Hum.
Hum?
Yes.
No.
All kinds of music now from John Sebastian, 11 Spoonful. 66 is a good year. How about this? They want to know, do you believe in magic? I do. Four tops and still what are love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, before your very ears, I'll try something very different here. A five-way conversation.
Let's see. We have somebody on a mic downstairs in the lounge. We have Craig Hines on a wireless mic. Outside.
I think we should turn off something like maybe this radio.
It is off.
It is, huh?
Oh, you want me to turn it off some more?
I think it's off.
There we go.
Yes.
Anyway, turn Craig Hines on.
Hi.
Craig?
We have weird signals coming out of the thing.
We can't hear Craig Hines. You're dead now. How about downstairs with the microphone?
Can you hear me?
Just vaguely, yes.
Oh, good. Try potting me up a little bit. How does that sound? Am I coming
okay.
in now?
Sure, sure.
Oh, good. Well, glad we have a few moments here. This is your roaming man on the move for all you sports
No,
fans.
No, Mr. Gale?
Yes.
Mr. Gale, it sounds very weak.
It sounds very weak.
Very weak, yes. I tell you what, we'll come back to you a little later,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It sounds like Apollo Control is what it sounds like.
Well, they're almost that far away, Dexter.
Yes, things are bad all over, okay?
That's what I say.
To save us, now we're going to play some music from an itty-gritty dirt band. Mr. Bojangle.
I knew a man.
That's the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band on KCPI. Mr. Dexter, we have something for you. Mr. Jacobson.
Yes. Well, you picked the best time. I had a phone call and everything.
We're spiffy right here.
You certainly are. Do you want me to play something for you?
No. He has, Mr. Jacobson's right here. He would like to talk to you. He can hear you and everything.
Mr. Jacobson would, we're going to do an interview
across. Right there.
Oh, wow.
Right across the airwaves.
Hello, yes. Mr. Jacobson.
Hello there.
How are you?
All right. What's your name again?
I'm David Dexter, the news director at KCPR.
Oh, yes,
Dave. Yes. I understand from one of my our news sources said this morning that you graduated from Cal Poly in 65.
Yeah, 65. Right.
They said you had some senior project in connection with the union building. Is that correct?
That's right. I wanted a senior project, so I asked Dean Lawson at a special at the college union here, and he said, well, how about a specific year in the college union history? And I said, well, I'll take 62, 63 the year.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote my senior project on it.
I see. Have you been listening to our documentaries we've been presenting?
or have you? We did a bit of research ourselves and looked into certain activities in the past days of the college union. I wondered if you'd heard any of them.
Well, I haven't heard, but I in my senior project, mm-hmm. if any of the students want to pick it up, it's in the library.
Uh-huh. Why don't you give the name of it?
Well, it's a long name. It's an analysis of student participation in a college union at California State Polytechnic College, 1962-63.
How's that? Well, I'll say. That's a long one. What are some of your personal opinions of, coming back? I understand you're from the East Coast now.
Yeah, I'm becoming a Jewish minister, rabbi in New York City.
I see.
It's my fourth year.
And you flew all the way out here to see the open house?
Yeah, and also the earthquake in Los Angeles.
Oh.
My family live in San Fernando Valley.
I see. What are some of your personal opinions like?
Well, it's the most beautiful building I've seen, and I've seen an awful lot of them in New York.
Uh-huh.
And for the students, for the faculty, and for everybody here in this area, San Luis Obispo, it's really a beautiful building.
Do you think anybody back in the early 60s imagined the building to turn out like it did?
Well, in my senior project, I didn't visualize the building. I visualized the ecological structure, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And but I would visualize it more with steel and glass and metals.
Uh-huh.
But I just talked to the architect, Joseph Eshery.
Mm-hmm.
We had dinner down at the faculty dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that this building can be added on to, and it is a beautiful building for the type of school we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said for the agricultural students, they can put three feeder yards out here in the patio if they want to.
I see.
But for all around, I haven't seen a college union building, and I've seen quite a few as beautiful as this one.
Have you seen any of your classmates from the that year? I mean, have you?
Oh, yes. Well, in 64, 65, there's a couple working here at school.
Uh-huh.
The dean of curriculum, I think, is Mr. Coates,
uh-huh.
Don Coates.
I see.
And all the, I graduated in business, you know, and also had a major in labor and and physical in recreation, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen an awful lot of people I knew here, and that's why I came back to see the opening of the college union.
So you'd say in general, then, you have a very favorable opinion of the whole thing.
There's no question. It surprised me. I saw it at night last Friday night.
Uh-huh.
At night, and it was really, really impressive.
I see.
And whenever I saw it the next day, it was really bigger than it was the night before, you could say.
What do you think is the best time of day, or best time to see it? At night, when the lights are reflecting off the bright colors, or during the day when you can walk around and see
it? Well, I'd say any time.
Right.
In fact,
I
almost lost my hotel room after the first night here. I was thinking of moving it here for a night.
That would be a fascinating hotel on campus, wouldn't it?
Well, they're supposed to have they can add it to, you know, on the roof here. They're going to put an apartment,
rooms
for visiting dignitaries eventually. But, of course, the budget ran out on that for this part. But
you mean the building right now is compatible to add another story?
Oh, at least one. Maybe two or three.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. How about, you said before, adding other parts to it? I mean, is there room around the back? I mean, I know the science building is there. Did they ever have any plans?
Well, I'll tell you, when I came here, we had spring fever, if you know what that is.
You
know what spring fever is?
Sort of, I don't know.
Well, up where the old, temporary college union, the architects had offices there in drawing rooms.
I see.
And they had a big orange pipe thing up there.
Uh-huh.
It must have weighed about 10 tons. And the boys got together, 500 of them, one night, and carried it right down where the college union is here now, down to the cafeteria patio.
Uh-huh.
And I just visualized them. I wasn't living here. I was living over on Chorus Street, if you know where that is, Campus Village over there.
Yes.
And I heard all the noise here.
Uh-huh.
And they moved telephone poles, and 500 of the boys, as I say, carried it all the way down to the patio.
Are you talking about that geodesic dome?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
that's right, yeah.
And Mr. Haslam, the head of the architecture department, I saw the next day, and he just couldn't believe it, you know. Visualize it, you know, this is more massive than that, you could say. In this.
Right, right.
And it's really beautiful.
Well, it certainly has been a pleasure reminiscing with you about the past, and I want to thank you very much.
As I say, I made a very nice trip through the northern part of the United States, and I'm be going down to Atlanta tomorrow night, and then back to New York, Pittsburgh, and New York. And
so you feel your trip has been worthwhile.
I'm very
then.
Proud of the students and the faculty, and myself, of being a part of Cal Poly. And as I say, it's really a beautiful building.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Jacobson.
Okay, thanks a lot, there, Mr. Dector.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for being a part of our broadcast day. Thank you very much. Now, with any kind of luck at all, we'll go downstairs and interview with Mr. Steve Gale. Steve.